Love being secondhand. Amen. That's the best place to be. And, amen. If I'm at an antique store one day. So that First Thessalonians chapter 1. And we're going to compare two churches in the Bible. And really, Pastor just wanted to use this manly voice I still have. And so it'll be gone this week, I'm sure. But 1 Thessalonians, we'll turn there, and then we'll look in the book of Revelation here in just a little bit. But we're going to compare two churches in the Scripture. We're not going to compare two one church good, one church bad. We're going to compare a really good church and a good church. And the fall of the one church, and I believe it's a slope that a lot of churches can get on. And so we'll look at those through the Scripture. But we're going to read the whole chapter, chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica from Athens. And so he writes, he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, he said, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a greeting, a salutation that Paul usually started his letters off with. He greeted the churches. He always started it off with grace. By the way, every church needs grace. Every church needs grace, my friends. I'm telling you, we are an imperfect people serving a perfect God. We're going to mess up. Our pastor's going to mess up. Our associate pastor's really going to mess up. And I don't know for our youth pastor, but we're all going to mess up. And we need grace. We need God's grace upon our lives. But notice what he says. He says, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Can you imagine how comforting that would have been to a church in this day? Most churches in the times of Paul were greatly persecuted churches. And could you imagine how they felt whenever Paul wrote back to them and said, I want to remind you, I'm praying for you. You know what's comforting to us, being one of Jesus's children and being a part of the body of Christ, that Jesus says He's praying for us. That's comforting to us as Christians. That's comforting to us as a local body. Notice what he says in verse 3. He says, remembering without ceasing. And we're going to focus on these three things here tonight. He says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Notice what he said. It's in the sight of God and our Father. He's saying that God sees your work. Notice what work of faith. He sees your labor of love. He sees your patient of hope. God sees those things. By the way, the things that are done for the Lord Jesus Christ are being kept in a record book in heaven. God sees all, and God's keeping a just record. Verse 4 says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men you were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us. In other words, Paul's telling them, you know I'm an apostle. You know that I am called of God. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And he says, you follow me as I follow Christ. He was trying to lead them on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he says, the Lord having received thy word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 8 says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Notice what Paul just said. He said, your faith is known abroad to God. Can that be said about Heritage Baptist Church? I pray that the Meads tonight can say we know the faith of Heritage Baptist Church because we've not missed one check giving them their support. Amen. Sometimes it hadn't been there. We gave it anyway. That's faith. And by faith, I hope they know that we're praying for them. and that we're keeping our end of the deal and they're doing their end as serving the Lord. Notice verse 9, he says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And so after I pray tonight, we'll compare these two churches and then we'll ask ourselves, what kind of church are we? Okay, let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You. Thank You for Your perfect Word. Thank You, God, for the comfort of the Scripture and the Spirit upon our hearts. And Lord, we ask that You would take these words that have been spoken already, these Scripture, and I pray that You would expound them upon our heart. I pray the Holy Spirit would have liberty tonight. I pray that He would take and just knock upon our heart door upon things, God, maybe we can work on and some sin in our life. I pray, God, that You get the victory through our lives tonight. We praise You and thank You in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The first thing we'll talk about tonight is the format of this church. Every church has to have a format. The format of this church, we see that there's three things mentioned in verse 3, the format of this church. By the way, the number one thing a church needs is a pastor. And I'm glad we got a great pastor. And I could not think of a better man to work for unless Paul or Jesus Christ was here on earth. And we have a great pastor. We ought to be blessed because we are blessed because of that. We ought to be thankful. And if you're not thankful, go visit other churches and you'll come back and say, "Pastor, I love you. Thank you for being a great pastor." He cares for His people, and that's evident. I don't need to preach that. I've already preached those messages. But I do say that in verse 3, we see the format of this church. Notice the three things He mentions there. Number one, He mentions their work of faith. That work of faith reaches upward. The work of faith reaches upward. The second thing, we see that the labor of love, which what is our theme for this year? Love serves, right? That reaches outward. The labor of love reaches outward. And then we see the hope of patience reaches forward. They were upwardly, outwardly, and forwardly doing the right thing. They had the faith, work of faith. By the way, that is the only work we can do. We do the work of faith. The work that we do, whether it's passing out flyers, whether it's witnessing to people, that's a work of faith. And also we have, notice the second thing, a labor of love. That we should do nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ without love. If we X out the word love from serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that's called selfishness. By the way, the labor of love will go beyond the way somebody smells, looks, and we'll try to reach them with the gospel. And the last thing he says, the hope of patience, it reaches forward. We see the formation of this church. There's a format for a church. I believe you have to have those three ingredients, and we'll talk about those here in a little bit. A format of a church has to have a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patient of hope. I believe that is the foundation of any church. But how is the church formed, the formation of the church? Well, we see in Acts chapter 16 that God called a man. That was Paul. God also confirmed His message in verse 5. He says, in verse 5, notice He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power," how? "In the Holy Ghost." Now notice what else He says. "And in much," what? "Assurance." That means that's the approval of the message that Paul was given to the church at Thessalonica. By the way, I believe our pastor gets up here with the approval of God in the message. And, you know, I wish I could say that I stood up there and preached every message right and every message that God gave me. But I don't think I'd tell you that. There were some times I got up in the pulpit and thought I'd preach to everybody that wasn't there. None of y'all preachers ever did that. Preach a message on all the people that are sitting at home and all the people there going, "Why is he preaching this message?" You know, and I wish I could say that was of God, but it wasn't. But also we see God calls a man, God confirms his message, God collects the membership, right? God saves him, God stabilizes him, God satisfies us. That's what God does. He does the saving. We just do the labor of love. We just have the patience of hope in our life. And so we see that God forms the church. He uses a man, He uses people, but God does, He started the first church as an example. And so God is still forming churches. And the formation of a church is not built by some man for his own good. It's built for the Lord Jesus Christ by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the third thing we see is the function of a church. A church has to function. Now, sometimes there's a disc before that function, isn't there? You ever go into a church, there's a lot of in the function? And there's not a lot of function. There's just a lot of dis. I dislike this. I dislike this. I dislike them. Amen. But I want you to know, I wrote all these down. These are seven things. Of course, they're all start with an S, but these are a function of a church. And we see it here in the scriptures. We see in verse 7 that this was a shining church. Notice verse 7, he says that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Arcadia. They were a shining church. People were looking to the church at Thessalonica saying, that's what we want. By the way, I believe if we could get a hold of some people in Hazlett, Texas, they would say, hey, that's the kind of church I want. I love it when people come to our church and say, we've been to other churches and we've not found a church such as this one. I was sitting with a family at lunch today, and that's the very thing they said. We visited this church. But when we came here, we saw that this was a place where we could raise our kids, where we could raise grandkids, where we could be and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, glory to God. It is not the staff, it's not the members, it's God. We just obey Him. We are a shining church. Hey, I'm telling you, you do right long enough, people will see it. You be a shining light in your workplace long enough, when something bad happens in their life, they're not going to their drunk buddy, they're coming to you. And so we see they were a shining church. We see also in verse 8 that they were a sending church. Verse 8 says, from you sounded out the word. He said in Macedonia. In other words, they were a missionary-minded church already. And we see that they were a sending church. The third thing, we see they were a separated church. Verse 9 tells us that you have turned to God from your idols. By the way, you want to see a functioning church, you've got to have people that are separated from the world. Separated from the idols of this world and separated to God. We see that they not only were that, but they were a serving church. Notice verse 9. I like this. It says that, and show themselves what manner of entering in we had unto you, how that you turned from God to idols. But notice this, to serve the living and true God. It was a serving church. These are all free, by the way. I wasn't going to preach these, but they were there. We see in verse 10, they were a satisfied church. Notice what it said, to wait for His Son. They were going to wait until Jesus came. Patience. They were displaying. They were. By the way, are you satisfied? I'm satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not satisfied with my life, but I'm satisfied with Jesus. I believe the choir sung that a couple Sundays ago. If it satisfies you, Lord, it satisfies me. We see they were a scriptural church. In verse 10 also, they were built, this church was built on a risen Savior. They believed Jesus had risen from the dead. I believe that they were a scriptural church. I believe also, verse 10 tells us they were a secure church. It says that they were delivered from the wrath to come. They were secure. They were assured that they were going to escape the wrath. Hey, that's a functioning church, my friend. That's a lot of stuff. Now, keep going. Go back to verse 3. Verse 3, all that was free. Verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing three things. Let's look at these, and I'm going to go over to the book of Revelation. I'll be done. Work of faith, labor of love, and patient of hope. Patient of hope. Now go over to the book of Revelation, if you will, chapter 2. The book of Revelation, chapter 2. Now, as we look at the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, of course, the Lord Jesus writing through the pen of the Holy Spirit through John. On the Isle of Patmos, we see that he writes unto the angel or the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And this is a good church, but there's something that happened to this church and they begin to decline. And I believe we'll see it through the scripture. Now, notice if you will, in verse 1, it says, unto the angel. You didn't know Brother Crawford was an angel, did you? Only Miss Tanya knew that. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now I want you to notice the three things are found here that we found in chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. The three things are there, but there's something missing. Now notice what's happening. Verse 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. They're right there again. Do you notice what's missing, though? We'll talk about that here in a little bit. But going down, it says, "And how thou canst not bear them which are evil." Hallelujah. That's a great church. They shoot evil. Now notice what happens here. "And thou hast tried them which are," say, "their apostles." So those that they allowed in the church, they tested them. They didn't allow somebody to come in and preach that was not tested. That's why many times in Paul's letters, he had to prove that he was an apostle, that he was one sent of Jesus Christ, because these churches were testing them. Because guess what? In this day, there was false apostles in that time. They were coming around saying, "We're with them," saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" And Jesus said, "I'll say unto you, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." So they were during this time. Now notice he says, "And are not, and has found them liars." He says, verse 3, "And has bore, and has patient, and for my name's sake has labored, and has not fainted." You not quit. The church has not quit. Verse 4 says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee." Man, can you imagine them reading this letter? Lord saying, "You're doing good. You're doing good. You're doing good." They're going, "Yeah, yeah." Then the Lord says, "I have somewhat against you, though. Uh-oh, here it is. Because thou hast left thy first love." By the way, that happens to a lot of churches. When we lose our focus on Christ. We can be doing, now to go back to verse 2, we can be doing our works. We can be doing our labor, we can have patience, but we can lose the three things that were mentioned in the other verses. Notice, if you will, if you remember back on 1 Thessalonians, it says to have a work of what? Faith. A work of faith. They just had a work. By the way, anybody can just have a work. You can do something for what you so call the Lord, but it may not be the work of faith, seeing that which cannot be seen. And believing in that which cannot be seen. They had a work in verse 2, but they didn't have a work of faith. They didn't have something that reached upward. When we do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ, we must do a work of faith. In other words, that means when I write my tithe check, that doesn't mean that I'll check my bank account and make sure I have that much in there. No, Lord, I owe you this. Lord, I want to give you this. That's my offering. And Lord, this mission money right here, this is just extra because I love the Lord and I love everybody and I want to see them reach for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't compare, I don't go to my wife and say, "Honey, we need to compare our check with our bank account," because that's not faith. I still just write the check and tell the guys to hold on to it for a week if I need to. No, that's not a work of faith. That's not something I'm doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, I know being on staff, being a pastor, being whatever this, and this, a janitor, whatever you may be, I know this, is that we can get so used to just doing the work, we forget about the main ingredient to everything we do for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's faith. The church at Ephesus had, yeah, they had a work, but they had lost their first love. What does that mean? They lost sight of Christ and they quit doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I love my wife. I love her more today than I ever have. And tomorrow I'll love her even more. But I'll tell you what, when I do something, I do it because I love her. And if I ever lose sight of my love for my wife, I will quit doing things for her. And just do them because I think I ought to have to do these things. Listen, tonight, you don't have to be at church. You could have stayed home. You could be watching football right now. You could have done anything else, but you came. And I hope because you love the Lord. I hope you're not here tonight because you checked your reminders on your phone and it said, "Go to church." Bing, okay, I'm going to church. Anybody else live by those reminders? I do. If you ever hear ding when I'm around, that's saying, "Hey, you got something to do." But you know what? I can get used to just waking up at this time and going to the church, opening this book and doing this work. But I need to remind myself that it's a work of faith. It's a work that I'm doing this for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice the second thing he says here. He says, "I know thy works," but also he says, "I know thy labor." But they had a labor, but they didn't have a labor of love. Sometimes our intensity for the ministry can be great. I mean, we can work 60 hours for Jesus, and work and labor is kind of on the same thing. But labor is a little more intense feeling that we labor for something. I would believe that if you talk to a woman and you said, "Is there a difference between work and labor?" and they've had a kid, they would say yes. And if you said that labor's nothing to labor, they would probably hit you. They would do a work of love in your life, okay? But labor's that intensity for the Lord Jesus Christ that it has to be a labor of love. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? I have to ask myself all the time. You know, you have to check up every now and then. I want to do this because I love the Lord. I can tell you, there's been times in my life I passed out flyers on the door just because I wanted to get 100 of them done. I shouldn't tell myself, but I did. And if we're all truthful. Pastor says this, and Pastor's great about this, is that, and this is where I failed a lot, it's not, we don't want you to do something just because we want to intimidate you and antagonize you to do something. Pastor wants you to do it because you love the Lord. Wants it to be a labor of love. But I like the last one. Notice the last one. He says, in thy patience. There's no patience of hope. By the way, you ever just went to a waiting room just to wait there? Bailey just said no. So, no. Thank you, Bailey. You ask a question, Bailey's going to answer it. And we usually are quick now. When Pastor says something, you know, he asks a question, we go, I put my hand over her mouth because she's going to answer it, no. You know, Pastor sometimes, don't you love the Lord Jesus? Bailey say, no. Well, I say, don't say that, you know. But, I've never went into a waiting room just to, you know, why are you here, sir? Well, I just love waiting. No, I'm waiting for hope. I'm waiting for that doctor or somebody to come out and tell me something, right? It cracks me up. It's called a waiting room. But yet, people have come out and say, the Smith family. Is anybody here for the Smith family? Anybody here for... Yeah, that's us. Why didn't you answer the first time? This is called a waiting room. People need to get going. You ever do that? Or they're asleep. And you're like, that's them. By the time you sit there long enough, you know everybody's name. You know, you're like, oh, that's the Cantrell family over there, that's the Smith family. We know them all now. But it's called a waiting room. You're there to wait for something. We're here to wait for something. Amen. To have patience. That means to keep the faith. That means to look with eyes beholding Christ coming back in the clouds and calling us out of this place. And can I say that tonight is that when times get tough and when we go through those tribulations and we go through those storms, is that I have patience in those because patience, I have it in what? I have it in the hope of Jesus Christ that He's coming back again. Well, that'll help you be a little patient, won't it? First one thing Michael Wiggins lacks is patience. I'm a microwave guy. I was in the car wash the other day, and I almost pulled out of there. It was taking so long, and I was on my lunch break, and I was thinking, this car wash probably took a minute, but I thought it should have took 30 minutes, 30 seconds, you know? Ain't that's bad. When we live in that society where we're in a car wash and it takes you a minute to get through that and you're trying to hurry it up. When you're sitting there watching popcorn pop and you're got your hand on the handle because you can't wait. That's the society we live in. And it seems like that some people, even though Jesus has not tarried His coming, but Jesus has prolonged His coming because He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so it seems like some churches are falling away in this area of having patience of hope. Yeah. We must stand firm in these days and keep our eyes on the sky and keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. Why? Because I have patience that He is coming back again. And He'll come back right on time. This church began to fail because it only had a work, it only had a labor, and it only had patience. But it lacked the three ingredients. Can I say that Satan is out to attack a church that is doing right? A church at Thessalonica, the Lord attacked them. The devil attacked them. The Lord tried to strengthen them through Paul, and that's why he wrote the letters. Can I say all through the Scripture, when you look at a New Testament church, Satan was after them if they were trying to do things right. By the way, hey, you know why the devil doesn't like Heritage Baptist Church? We're on the 10 most wanted list of the devil right now. Hallelujah. I'm glad we are. You know, I'm glad we're on His wanted list. I'm glad He's got the top 25 most wanted churches He wants to get in. And I'm glad we're at the top up there. That simply means we're just doing things for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're doing things right because we have a people that want to rise up and serve Him. And that we want to have a work of faith, that we want to have a labor of love, and we want to have patience of hope. Amen. And the devil says, I don't like that. Now, if you'll just have a work, if y'all just keep working and don't do it for the right reasons, the devil will say, got that church. By the way, I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe the devil bothers some so-called churches. No need to. They're self-destructing. You know? But he's after churches that are trying to do right. And by the way, there's a lot of them out there. We're not the only ones. I realize that. There are a lot of churches doing the right thing. They're trying to stay with the Word of God. By the way, if you look on down, notice verse 5 in Revelation chapter 2. There's three things He told them to do here in this scripture. He said, number one, remember. Therefore, from where thou art fallen. He says, you were here. You once had this work of faith, this labor of love, and this hope, patient of hope. He says, you once had your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ and on His righteousness and on His Word, but you've fallen from that. He said, remember that. Remember what it was to be back there. There's a lot of churches, all they got is memories. Well, we used to be this. You know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of Christians that can say, well, I used to be this. But notice what he says. He says, remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And he said, repent. He said, remember, but repent where you are now. And then he says, repeat. Notice what he says. He says, and do thy first works. Amen. Can I remind you that when we got saved, that was the most exciting time, and that was the closest we've ever been to the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment He saved us, bam. I got saved, boy, you wanted to tell everybody, didn't you? Amen. What happened? Go back and do that. Go back and reclaim that joy that was in your heart. Reclaim that fervency that was in your life at that time. Hey, we got to remember where we were. We got to repent where we're at now. We got to repeat. We got to go back to where we were. And keep growing in the Lord Jesus Christ and be a church that Jesus can look down and say, I am pleased with that church. Now, there's always obvious areas we can improve in. And I hope we're working on those things. But let me ask you this tonight in closing. What kind of church are we? Our church is only as strong. You've heard this statement. The church is only as strong as its weakest link. Heritage Baptist Church needs each member, or else you wouldn't be a member. Amen? Heritage Baptist Church needs each link of the chain to be a strong link. Because if you're bridging two strong people together and you break, guess what? It affects the whole church. I want to be a strong Christian. I want to keep my focus. I want to keep my first love. My first love was the Lord Jesus Christ. My first love was Donya Wiggins, too. She didn't know it at the time when I was small. She lived right down the road from me. I loved her already. I'd go behind her, push her on her bicycle. That's back when you used to have bicycles. Y'all remember those in newspapers and TV guides? Boy, she just thought I was some fat, weird kid. Wouldn't give me the time of the day. I kept chasing her. Finally, she caught me. Yeah. Yeah. We were doing circles then. Now I let her go, and then she came back and chased me. That worked out pretty good. That's been a long time ago, it seems like. But you know what? The Lord says, go back and do your first love. Go back to your first love. Rekindle that fire with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I want to be the type of church member that Lord can look down from heaven and say, I've heard of your faith, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. We need hope. Amen. I'm glad tonight we've got hope. I'm glad tonight that I serve in a church where I believe the best of our ability, we're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we're a great church, but I believe we could be better. Why? Because I know I can be better as a church member. And so should all of us examine ourselves tonight and say, what kind of church member am I?
I want to be the best I can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand tonight. I'll pray, then Pastor, you come. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, I realize tonight that we are all imperfect people. But Lord, you did give us the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us as a church family. And Lord, tonight I just pray that you'd help us all to be better church members and to check ourselves, Lord, from our heart, and Lord, to make sure we're doing this work of faith, this labor of love. And Lord, that we have patience of hope. Lord, we do have a hope that's greater than anything this world could offer. Lord, tonight I pray you'd help us all to be better church members and better Christians, better fathers and mothers and husbands and wives. Lord, if you'll do that, this church will be better for it. And God, I ask that you would bless this invitation, Lord, tonight, that you speak to people's hearts. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. This pastor comes.